Holy God, you have shown us love beyond measure. You have given to us all that we need, more than we deserve. And today we offer to you our gifts, our hearts, our tithes, our offerings, that you may bless them and use them and build with them. We offer ourselves that you may use us. May this offering be holy in your sight. May you bless it for your kingdom and for all the work to be done. May it be for your glory alone. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, we have been just started in last week with Advent, exploring this concept of the five love languages. The five love languages is a book that was written almost 30 years ago by the Reverend Dr. Gary Chapman, and it is specifically focused on romantic relationships, your spouse, your mate, and how to have those relationships succeed and grow and change and heal, and it's a phenomenal book. But what I have found is that the concept for it reaches far beyond our marriages, far beyond our romantic relationships, and that they relate to any time we seek to love one another. And so in this season of Advent, we're looking at the five love languages and how they apply to not just our romantic relationships, but how they apply to our relationships with one another, with our neighbor, with our family members, and with God. And so last week we looked, we kind of gave an overview of what each of these languages mean. We focused a little bit on the service aspect of that and how that applies, but today we are looking at words of affirmation. And so I do want to review it just for a moment in case you missed last week. This is my holy love bucket. And you notice that it's got a lot of holes in it, and it wouldn't hold water very well. It wouldn't hold sand very well, but it could certainly carry rocks. Not the pebbles might still fall through. And it might feel a little bit like you're calling someone a bad name, but you are all holy love buckets. And this is the way I'm going to invite us to explore this concept, that we all seek to have our buckets full. We all want to be loved well. But we all speak different love languages. We speak them all. We recognize them all. But each of us has one that it sticks. It resounds within us. It is our primary love language. But we're all different. And so today in your bulletin you have a test. You have the love language test. Now it is geared toward your romantic relationship, but that doesn't matter. I invite every person here to take that test, and if you want to put someone in mind that's maybe a friend, someone maybe a child or a parent, a neighbor, yourself. That's the most important part, is you put yourself in that situation and you go through those questions. There's 30 questions in there, and they are all they're all an A or B type of question. Would you rather this or this? And you just pick one. Don't overthink it. Don't try to score high in one place where you think you are. Just go through it and say, I would rather that and that and that and that. And then at the end, you tally them all up, and you'll see that you have a primary love language. One of those five categories, whether it's words of affirmation or service or gift giving or quality time or physical touch, one of those is going to resound with you more than others. And what you'll also see is that there's probably going to be one or two that score very, very low. Those are the small potatoes. Those are the sand or the water. That's what doesn't fill your bucket. I gave you the example, gift giving. I enjoy giving gifts to people, but gift giving or receiving gifts has never really been my primary love language. It's nice. I appreciate it, but it's not my primary love language. My primary languages are words of affirmation and quality time. Those things are big, and those stay in my bucket. Those allow me to have a full bucket. And so we all speak that all these languages, but each one of us has some that are bigger, some that are smaller to us, as far as how we receive love. And so I invite you to take that test to this week. I would love to know what you learned about yourself. What kind of jumps out at you? Maybe there's something you didn't realize. Maybe there's something that scores really, really high because it's been lacking. Maybe you're a physical touch person and you haven't had a hug in a long time. That's going to make that score higher. If you're lacking in a category, those are going to creep up in the tally there. So I think it's very important for us to know ourselves. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and so if we are joining together in that effort, it's very important to be able to tell someone, if someone's trying to love you well, what is a good way to do it? In the second service, I explained that by, you know, if I am a gift giver and I buy my wife a new piece of jewelry every day, and I pour out all my effort into this daily gift of jewelry, but that's not her love language, it's not gonna resound with her. And she said, "Yeah, but once in a while would be okay." It's not her primary love language, but it matters. And so we all seek to receive all of these, but some of them hit hard. Some of them are big. Some of them feel like real love to us. And what I am seeing as I go through these love languages in romantic settings is that it does apply. It applies to more than romance. It applies to all of our personal relationships. It applies to our friendships, our parenting or being parented. It applies to our neighbors. It applies to the church. Every personal relationship we have, these things hold value. But also with God, how we show love to God, we can show love to God and we can show God's love to other people through all of these ways. And God shows God's love for us in all of these ways. Today we're going to focus on words of affirmation. Words of affirmation is a love language, and it's a very important one. And it's probably my primary love language, especially when it comes to ministry and how I relate with people who are hurting. It is the way primarily that I see people respond to God's love. We need words. We need it to be said. We need it to be affirmed. And that's what words of affirmation are. In a relationship, Words of affirmation are I am's. That is, I am here. And I am here for you. I am with you. I am behind you. I am committed to you and to supporting you. I am. They are also I do's. I do forgive you. I do value you. I do love you. They are also I want to. I want to honor you. I want to respect you. I want to live in peace with you. I want to grow with you. And the I wills, I will always, all the above. When we're able to express those words, it affirms our relationship. Affirm means, in the Latin breakdown of it, it means to strengthen, to firm up. To affirm is to give strength vocally, but not always vocally. We can say it in our other love languages. We can be present and always present, and we can hug, and we hope that they know that that means that, but the words matter. Saying it out loud matters. It matters in every one of our personal relationships. Taking that time to say those words, I am with you. I know it might be really hard right now. I know maybe you feel like you've messed everything up, but that doesn't matter because I am here for you. I'm here to be in support of you through whatever you go through. That builds relationships. That strengthens relationships. And it is important for us to proclaim that to the people we love, to the people we want to share love with, especially God's love. That is the whole of our message. Every person that comes in here knows that they are a beloved child of God. To say it out loud, you are deeply loved, you are wholly forgiven. We have to say it out loud. We can't just hope that a hymn, you know, seeps in and they get it. It happens. It happens for me. Music hits deep within me. But say the words to people. The same goes for our relationship with God. We are called to have this vocal commitment to share words of affirmation for our faith, for our trust, for the relationship, for our love, just like God shares those words with us. God shows God's love for every single person in words, in writing. And that's what brings me to our scriptures today. I only listed three. Three of the biggest ones to me is if we're looking at how God affirms God's love for the world. But I am quite certain that every word within the scriptures is an affirmation of God's love for you, for us, for the world, for humankind. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Romans 8:39. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And from Matthew 28, Jesus' words to his disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus spoke words of affirmation to those he loved, to those that followed him, to you. God did the same thing. He used those I am statements, and he put them all together, and that became his title. When he was asked, "Who are you?" he said, "I am." He didn't need to fill in the end of the sentence. He just am. He is. And if God is, he's all those things. He's here. He's with you. He's behind you. He's committed to you. He loves you, forgives you, values you, respects you, honors you, wants to live in peace with you, desires to grow with you. And he is always there. And in this Christmas season, in this preparation of for the arrival of the Christ, we focus especially on these words that God sends to God's people, these messengers, these angels, delivering on God's behalf the words we need to hear. Do not be afraid. God is with you. God is. And all that God is will be born into the world that you may know the fullness of the love of God. Always. Emmanuel. And so today, as we explore these affirmations, I invite you to do the same thing, that to honor that God has said out loud to you, "I am," that God has shared words of affirmation with you throughout the scriptures and throughout time. We are given this opportunity to respond. That's the relationship part of it. And so I'm going to invite you and give us all the opportunity to affirm, vocally affirm your desire to be in relationship with God. And the way I'd like to do that this morning is from our baptismal covenant. And so I'm inviting you to remember your baptism and to reaffirm your baptism and to say it out loud. You don't need a hymnal. I'll say most of the words. I'm going to ask you a question. And your response is, if you want to say it out loud and mean it to God, you say, "I do." And so on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, say, "I do." I do. And do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Jesus Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, I do. I do. Amen. Those are words of affirmation. That is how we convey love. And for some of us, it resounds deeply. And for some of us, it's familiar. But God speaks all the love languages. And I am certain that He is constantly telling us we are loved and constantly asking us to love Him well. And so we celebrate that gift that He's given us today. We celebrate in the form of communion to be present, to spend quality time, to receive this gift, and to give yourself over as a gift, to touch the body, to receive the words, and to go and serve. We are called into the fullness of all five of these love languages when we commit to serving, loving, following Jesus Christ. And so today we affirm our faith. We ask for the healing that God offers, the salvation that God offers to be fully manifest within us, to be fully a part of us, within us, that we may carry it on just as Jesus taught us, just as he led his disciples on that last meal that he shared with them, on that Seder evening. They gathered, and as they sat down to eat, he took bread, and he lifted it up and gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread and said, "Take and eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as that meal went on, toward the end, he took the cup and he lifted it up and gave thanks to God, and shared it with his friends and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, my blood poured out for the sins of the world, for your sins, that they be forgiven, that you may know forgiveness. Drink of this and remember me every time you drink of this cup." Holy God, we come to you today asking for your presence, for your grace, that we may realize the fullness of your love. By your Spirit, God, make these gifts of bread and new wine be your body broken for us, your blood poured out, that we may know the wholeness, the healing, the forgiveness and grace that you offer us by your Spirit. Make this holy. Forgive us. Empower us to share your word, your love in the world. In Christ we pray. Amen. And so we're going to test out the tables, or the kneelers today. There are four spots on each side. And so I'm going to invite eight people at a time to come forward, find a spot. If you kneel, that's up to you. You don't have to. If it's difficult, or if you just don't want to, that's all right. There's a cup, and there's another cup with bread. The bread is gluten-free. It's grape juice that all may partake. If you have any mobility issues, if this feels like too much of a challenge, please just remain seated, and we are blessed to serve you. And so I haven't tried it yet, but I'm thinking, if you kind of form lines at the outside and come in, four at a time and four at a time, find your spot. We'll say some words for each group that comes forward. When you're finished with your cups, you can leave the empties in the tray and then head back to your seat through the middle there. So, does that make sense? All right. So I'm going to invite all. This table's not set by me. It's not set by the United Methodist Church. This gift is the grace of God, and you are invited. All who seek to love and know God deeper and newly today and any day, you are invited. all who repent of your sin, all who love Jesus are welcome at this table. His body has been broken for you. His life has been poured out that you may have new life in him. Come and eat.